Tonight, 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians. Chapter 1. Starting in verse 8. Beautiful passage of scripture. What do people say about you? What do people say about you? You know, first impressions is important. And when you meet people, the life that you live and you pass on, what people say about you. I wonder sometimes, you know, I said one time, preachers talk about somebody and, when they pass on, and the guy said, what would you want the preacher to say about you when you passed on? He said, he's moving. Verse 8, for from you the word of the Lord has sounded forth, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith towards God has gone out, so that we do not need to say anything. For they themselves declare concerning us what manner of entry we had to you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, who delivered us from the wrath to come. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your blessings in life that you give us. We thank you, Lord, that as we gather here tonight as a church, you to speak to our hearts. For it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen. I don't know about you. Perry's always saying you can write in your Bible. Well, I've marked mine up so I can hardly read the words. And I looked several times and think, man, I should wish I hadn't marked through that word now. But you can barely make them out. Every church, every individual has a reputation. Amen? The question is, what kind of reputation do you have? It's either good or bad. What witness do you give when you're out in the community? You know, you've met people, you've talked to people that they say some things and, you know, you wonder, man, are you really a Christian? What are you living? How do you live? Paul is writing a letter to the church of Thessalonians, and he says about them that the word of the Lord has spread out to everywhere. I mean, they were on fire for God. They got out there and told people about Jesus Christ far beyond their boundaries. Every way they went, they were spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. They were telling people about Christ and about the faith in God. Now, that's a reputation that we ought to have in our life. When I die, I'd like people to know that I was faithful to God in the witness for God. God heard about, people heard about their reputation. And it, you know, it goes before us. I know some people that I've met that I thought, well, man, I've heard about them. And it wasn't good. But good or bad, let me tell you something, it will spread. It will spread. All you have to do is just say some little something, and it gets around like wildfire. And here Paul says, it's good. Your reputation you have is good. We find a wonderful welcome about you, how you've turned from idols to God, and how you went out and spread that gospel, and how God has blessed you as a group of people. What a testimony to have. What a good reputation that we have spread the gospel everywhere we go, that when people come, you know, when we spread the gospel of Jesus Christ, it means that people will be converted to the Lord. Look at this church tonight and just think, is their desire to know God and to live for God? That was their desire. And if you desire to know God and live for God, let me tell you something, you can do that. He will bless you. He will help you in any way. You know, just ask God to help you, and He will. If it's your desire to witness, we had a witness training, and some of the people come to witness training. We're going to start over next week. If you want to get in on that, come over to my office right at Sunday school time, and we can have about six in there. So if you're the first six, we'll have you, and the rest of you will kick out the next time. That's the easy way to do it. But, you know, they want to witness to people. You know, that's important. When you come to someone and you want to witness to them, how do you share your testimony? How do you witness to them? Well, they'll know real quick. But what a reputation they had. Let's look at these verses of Scripture. One, they had a report. Their reputation had spread far and wide. Can you imagine you being called into a new town, a preacher, say, and you're going out to preach. And everywhere you go, man, they've already heard the word of Christ. They've already accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. So that you don't even have to tell them about Christ. They can tell you about Christ. Can you imagine going to a church like that? They're on fire for God in such a way that, man, they're willing to go out and just spread the gospel to everybody. Everywhere you go, you find, hey, that church has already come here. They've already told us about Jesus Christ. They're on fire for God down there at that church. Paul wanted to tell them about Christ, but they already knew. They knew about Christ. He says, the word of God has sounded out. It comes from a word that we use. Trumpeted out. The word of God just was widespread. I think about, you know, someone coming down the road with that boom box on and that loud noise. You know, what if we spread the gospel like that and told people about Christ? Like, I never will forget, you know, I've got one of them in my pickup. It's loud. And when I pull up at a gas station, I hear somebody playing that loud music. I turn my gospel music up. Man, we just have a battle right there. You know, if they can have that rap music going, I can have my gospel music going. And you know? But that's what it says. It sounded out like a trumpet. I was sitting down on the front porch at the farm about a week or two ago when lightning was coming in. And my brother and I were sitting there on the front porch. You can see the dark clouds rolling. You can see the lightning in those clouds. And we were sitting there and we were talking about it's coming pretty quick. And about that time, I mean, a clap of lightning hit. It sounded like it hit the house. I threw my phone almost to the ceiling. I turned around on the front porch, and he'd already run into the house. And I got in there, and he said, "Whoo, that was close." I mean, it was deafening. But just think about it. They sounded like that. The word of God just rolled across that town like thunder. It wasn't a meek reporting of something that took place, but they proclaimed the word of God boldly. They heralded forth the word. Oh, what I'd give for people to boldly, you know, shout the word of God in this town. You know, there's people out there that's listening are looking for a church. They're looking for people that are bold. And man, we need to be that way. The trumpet was used for several things in the Old Testament. The trumpet was used in various ways, and one was to gather the people together. And man, just think about it. How many people need to hear God being called and God being spread around in a worship service? I thought we had a wonderful worship service this morning. I enjoyed the music. I enjoyed the song. Man, those songs just touched my heart, and the music and the choir did a wonderful job. Oh, what a Savior we had. Man, we had people making a commitment to God. and a dedication to God, that's what we need in our church. You see, that's the reputation we need to have in our church. Not only that, it was a jubilee trumpet. One blew the trumpet when they was released from a death penalty. Listen, folks, we've been freed from that old sin and that stain, and God set us free. I love that song, "My Chains Are Gone, I've Been Set Free." Now, when I'm driving down the road in my pickup and I'm singing that song, it doesn't matter if I'm off key or not. So I'm not going to try it because that's a hard song to sing. But the trumpet was a summons, you know, to gather for war. And let me tell you something. If you look at our country today, we are at war. The devil is alive and well in our country. And our people, the Christian people, need to sound a trumpet. We need to take a stand and be counted. Don't be a little meager mouse and sit over there, "Heavenly Father, thank you for this food," so the people next to you can't hear. Go ahead and praise his name so that they can hear. You know, stand up for something. Stand and be counted for God. It was God's word that they trumpeted, not a word from man, but the word from God. Oh, I want to see that happen in my day. I want to see revival break loose in our town, in our church, and in our people. If we desire to spread the word, God will give us that boldness. You pray every morning. I tell our people before they witness, you pray. You pray that God would send you somewhere or send somebody along that you can share boldly with that day. And if you pray that and you ask God to do that, he will send somebody your way. You'll be able to do something for somebody to share the gospel. If we desire to know how to live, look at their lives. If you desire to know how to spread the gospel, look at their lives. Look at verse 9, repentance. They turned from idols. That is a genuine conversion experience. Repentance means they were going one way, they were worshiping idols, but they turned their lives around and started worshiping a true and living God. Now, they grew up in paganism, and it was tough to change. Have you ever thought about that? Change your whole lifestyle. But that's what they did. They turned from idols and they started serving God. If idols are all they known, man, that took something in their life. Jesus Christ was real to them, and they wanted a desire how to serve him and how to let him live in their lives. But when a person is converted, when a true conversion, I mean, they get excited about God, their life is changed. You don't come through an experience with Christ and go away the same old person, do you? You are changed on the inside. You break away from the old life and you start a new life in Christ Jesus. That's what they did. They turned from their idols and turned to God. Life has made a complete change in this church, in this town. Their old lifestyle is gone. People that tell me that they, you know, well, I got saved years ago, but, you know, they're still doing the same old things. My thought is they didn't get saved. Their lives show that they didn't get saved. Because when you are converted, you turn and you walk a different direction. You don't come out the same old way. There is a new commitment in your life. There is a new way of living in your life. A new way of thinking in your life. There's a new heart, you see. There's a new nature there. Oh, you're still at war with that old nature, but you are learning as you grow. You're excited about the gospel. I've seen churches completely turn around. People completely turn around. I told you about my old uncle. My old uncle was an alcoholic, one of the worst kind, you know. my grandmother would find him down under the bridge, parked up under the bridge, had his fifth of whiskey, passed out, laying in the front seat, you know, with the old heater running, in the cold of winter, dead drunk. I never will forget, one night we had to go to Hemp Hill. Y'all know where Hemp Hill's at? Hemp Hill is way down in down towards St. Augustine. His daughter called Daddy and said, "Would you go see if Daddy's all right?" We hadn't heard from him in a year. So we took off to Hemp Hill. We found him in an old sawmill. Back then they had old sawmills, and he had an old tent, and he was in there. In that tent, he had pneumonia. He was about to die, but he was still drunk. Daddy packed him up and put him in the back of the pickup, put him on a mattress, and we carried him back to Recklaw, and we sobered him up. And he stayed with my grandmother for months after that. He was the worst kind of old alcoholic you could get, folks. He left his wife and two beautiful daughters and went search for alcohol. That's pretty low, isn't it? To walk off and leave your family. They loved him. They still love him. His daughters loved him till the day he died. Lord, I don't know why. But let me tell you, he was sitting in the house one day, and he was watching, let's see, who was that man on television? Oh, he had the wife that was all painted up and everything. Jim Baker. He was listening to Jim Baker. Now, if Jim Baker ever done something right, he did it that day. He was talking about the Lord. And Uncle Raymond was sitting there. He had just, you know, getting old in years. He's just about gone life's limit. And he was sitting there listening to Jim Baker on television. And he said, you know, something about letting Jesus come into your heart. And Uncle Raymond got out in front of that television and gave his life to Jesus. Let me tell you something. He never touched a bottle of alcohol after that. Isn't that amazing? That's a change in a person's life. All he wanted to do is tell people about Jesus at his age. I tell you, he had an old friend that was just, he run with. And that old friend was drunk. He said, you know, he said, Janie, that's what they call my grandmother. Janie, something's happened to Raymond. He won't drink with me no more. All he wants to do is talk about Jesus. Isn't that wonderful? Folks, that's what God can do in a life. You don't tell me God can't change people. He took him out of the hog pen and set him on solid rock. Two or three years later, he died. But he's in heaven today. According to God's word, he's in heaven because he accepted Christ as his Lord and Savior. It's never too late. It's never too late. Now, I don't recommend you sit at home and watch television preachers. I recommend you come and have fellowship here at the church. Here is where we're united together in a bond of love. Here is whether you can, you know, you can set, get your week going again. You know, you charge your batteries. You come, I tell people all the time, you come and join in with a Bible study time and learn God's word. Here is where you grow. You see? You need that. I need that. Because the devil's out there, and we fight him every single day. You see? It also refers to trust and patience. You know, when you change your life, you start trusting God. You got trusting God. We sing a song, "Trust and Obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus, but to trust and obey." Someone said, well, if he's coming back soon, why work? Because he may not come back real soon. It may be tonight, but it may be 20 years from now. But you know what? Jesus says, occupy till I come. And that don't mean sitting in the church pew on Sunday morning. That means every day of the week. We're out there occupying. We're out there spreading the gospel. We're looking forward to His coming. I'm looking forward to His coming. Man, I tell you, it's going to be a wonderful day when He comes. So we are to trust His word and keep on keeping on. We sing that little song, you know, about the trail. I tell you what, if He comes today, okay. I'm all right with that. If not, I'm all right with that. That's His concern, not mine. My concern is to spread the gospel boldly till He comes. My concern is to leave a reputation that people will know that we were faithful to God's word. Our task is to work till He comes and be available to the Spirit of God. When the Spirit of God tells you something, you do it. You see? Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, is who we are available to. Listen to His word. Evil is not going to win. It's not going to win. Sinfulness is not going to be crowned with success. If you look at the television today, you might think it is, but it's not going to win. God will win. And we will win as Christians. God's wrath will be revealed from heaven. And only those that are in Christ Jesus will escape that wrath to come. Folks, it's important that our lives are hid in Christ. What kind of reputation do you have? People who know you. Is it one that you love the Lord? Is it one that you desire to serve the Lord? It ought to be. Do you know Jesus tonight? If not, then why don't you come? Change. Let Him change your life. Man, He'll change your life, and we'll have a reputation here that we're on fire for God. When somebody comes, they'll know that we've already preached the gospel. We've already told people about the gospel. Isn't that good to know? I got to go in the house one time and knocked on the door, and they invited me in. I said something about the church, and they said, well, preacher, people have already been here from your church. And I said, praise the Lord. That was good. That didn't happen but one or two times, but I tell you what, I was so glad that somebody had already been to that house inviting them to a revival. Let us close with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank You tonight for Your blessings. We thank You, Lord, that as we go this week, let us come across somebody we can share the gospel with. And let us be faithful to do that. And we'll give You the praise, for it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen. If you need to make